A solid foundation. You need a solid foundation. There's a fence between my house and my neighbor's house that when we moved in was straight up and down. And there's trees on the other side that keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And until about a month ago, the fence was about like this. Very, very, very depressing. And I called the man in our church who can fix everything blindfolded, Saku. Thank you, Saku. And I said, Saku, please help me with my fence. And I thought, surely the posts were ruined. So I went to Home Depot, got a bunch of posts, put them in my truck, brought them, met Saku, and we began to take the fence boards off. And Saku said, these posts are fine. It's the foundation that's bad. He poured a whole lot of concrete all throughout my backyard, laid the original posts right back in there, and my fence is straight up and down to this day. Right now, straight up and down. Foundation is important. Genesis is a book of foundation. The book of Genesis builds for us a solid foundation upon which you and I can understand the Word of God. You and I need the foundation of the book of Genesis. This morning, what I want to do is show you 9 foundations that we can see in the book of Genesis. 9 foundations that we can see in the book of Genesis. I'm so excited to be starting a book-by-book survey of the Old Testament. You will love this. You will love this series. Don't miss a single book. Me and the elders are going to be taking turns. We're going to introduce to you one book each Sunday in the Old Testament to give you a solid foundation. Don't miss a single book. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for His Word. That the book of Genesis would go down deep into your heart and change your life. You pray that right now, just between you and the Lord. Would you pray now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for the Word of God, that the book of Genesis would go down deep and change their life. Pray that for the other people in this room. Would you pray for me? That I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Pray for me that God would help me to preach this sermon. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be led and controlled by you and be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been looking so forward to this moment as we start the Old Testament. Please open your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. And let's start. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the book of Genesis, we meet God. And the first thing we learn about God is that God created the universe. God created the heavens and the earth. Skip to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Our dear sister Fawn is at the Master's College, and Maddie had the privilege of going and seeing the introduction to their nursing program. And Dr. John MacArthur spoke during that introduction, and he said, nursing is important because man is made in the image of God. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The first foundation in the book of Genesis is very simple. God created the universe and humanity. In your notes, God created the universe and humanity. In the book of Genesis, we meet God. Who is God? He is the creator. Amen? The second foundation in Genesis, number two in your notes, God created marriage. Very important foundation. God created marriage. You're in Genesis 1. Let's go to Genesis 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Skip to 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What a beautiful picture of the beginning of humanity. It is not good for the man to be alone. And God, remember in the book of Genesis, we meet God. God, in his infinite wisdom, his infinite love, his infinite grace, provides man with the perfect counterpart, the perfect complement, custom made just for him, woman. If you know me well, none of you know me as well as the five people in this room, in this row here, but if you know me well, and you know Julie well, you know that I need her. You know that I need her. And you know that she has come into my life to complete me, to enable me to accomplish my purpose in life. Husbands, pour over this passage of Scripture and learn from God to cherish your wife. God created marriage. A foundation we learn in the beautiful book of Genesis. The next foundation is number three in your notes. Sin corrupted humanity. God created humanity. God joined humanity together in marriage, and then sin corrupted humanity. You're in Genesis, turn one page, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, has God said, You shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Sin corrupted humanity. Trinity Baptist Church, every human being on the planet needs the information in Genesis. What a wonderful foundation for all of humanity. How much confusion and deception and falsehood would be cleared up and washed away in these first three chapters if every human being knew the book of Genesis. Can you see that it is Satan's strategy in this world to discredit the book of Genesis? He can do a lot of damage if you take out the book of Genesis. Genesis contains the information that every human being needs to know. It is the foundation. The next foundation we see in our notes, number 4, God hates sin and will cleanse his creation from its corruption. Hallelujah. God hates sin and will cleanse his creation from its corruption. You're in Genesis, turn to chapter 6. Verse 5. Then the Lord God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creepy things to birds of the sky, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God hates sin. Sin, like a virus, has corrupted humanity. And God hates sin. God loves his creation and will not tolerate its corruption. He floods the earth. Later on in the book of Genesis, we see the Lord destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. God hates sin, loves his creation, and will not allow it or us to be corrupted. It's his will to repair the damage. And we know that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from sin. Next, please turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Our next foundation, number 5, that we see in the book of Genesis, God adopted Israel as his chosen people. God adopted Israel as his chosen people. In the book of Genesis, we see God making promises. And in the book of Genesis, we see God keeping his promises. God promised Abraham a son. Turn over a couple pages to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to them, "So shall your descendants be." As you read the Bible, it helps you understand it if you can place yourself in the person's shoes. God takes Abram outside before streetlights, before car headlights, before lights were on buildings, before smog, before any of that, and says, "Look up." Can you imagine the sky that Abraham saw that night? God says, "Count the stars. So shall your descendants be." Verse 6. Verse 6 is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. "Then he believed in the Lord, and he," that is God, "reckoned," or credited, "it to him as righteousness." God promised Abraham a son. And we see in verse 6 that Abraham believed God, and God reckoned or credited it to Abraham as righteousness. The book of Genesis teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Foundation number 6 in the book of Genesis. In your notes, God wants us to trust him. God wants us to trust him. What God wants from us is faith. And Abraham teaches us faith. You and I must read the book of Genesis, because in the book of Genesis, we learn faith. Turn to chapter 22. Verse 1. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham." His name has already been changed from Abram to Abraham. "And said to him, 'Abraham,' he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, And he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Skip to verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father," he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, look at this, Trinity. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." What a beautiful place. It is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. We read this incredible story, and it teaches us, first and foremost, that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. And years later, just across the way, God provided another sacrifice for you and me. He spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his own. God will provide. In the book of Genesis, Abraham teaches us about faith. And what I want you to see this morning, Trinity Baptist, is you need Genesis to understand the New Testament.
Amen.
You need Genesis to understand the New Testament. Let me show you what I mean. Keep your finger in Genesis and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. You read the book of Genesis, and you see that God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Sarah was 90 years old, and God kept that promise. Verse 12, therefore there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead at that, Abraham was 100, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Indeed, if they'd been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham is a role model of faith. And the book of Genesis teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the book of Genesis, we learn that God wants us to trust him, and he is trustworthy. We learn that in the book of Genesis. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Keep your finger in Genesis. Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Paul is writing the book of Romans, and he's making the case that we are saved by faith, not by works. And people say, what about Abraham? He was a good guy. And Paul points back to the book of Genesis, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say in Genesis 15? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Amen. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Do you see how important Genesis is, brothers and sisters? Do you see how important Genesis is? You cannot understand the book of Romans without the book of Genesis. You need that foundation. You cannot understand Galatians without Genesis. You cannot understand Hebrews without Genesis. You cannot understand the New Testament without the book of Genesis. Genesis lays the foundation. Trinity Baptist Church, read, study, explore, and treasure the beautiful book of Genesis. We need it for our faith. The next foundation, number 7, God is faithful and will do what he promises. We've seen that many times. Throughout the book of Genesis, God makes promises and keeps them. We see in chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 22, and throughout the book, that God is faithful and will do what he promises. You're still in Genesis. Go back to Hebrews with me. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Verse 13. Hebrews 6, 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Men swear by one greater than themselves. And with them, an oath given is confirmation, as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. He says, God wanted you to be sure he makes a promise and he keeps it. You read the book of Genesis in chapter 15, there is this incredible ceremony where God leads Abraham to take an animal and kill it and divide the pieces. And he leads Abraham in this formal ceremony saying, I am making a covenant with you, I will keep my promises. God can swear by no one greater than himself, so he swears by himself. Verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. When Satan lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. God cannot lie. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Amen. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. God keeps his promises. God has promised to save all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and God will do it. And we learn that from the book of Genesis. God promised Abraham that his wife Sarah would have a son named Isaac. From the story of creation, from the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, from the story of many things, we learn foundation number 8 from the book of Genesis. God is all powerful. God is all powerful. Nothing is too difficult for God. Look quickly on the screen. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Chapters 21 through 36 of Genesis is the story of Isaac and Jacob. These stories are powerful. These stories are beautiful. When the Apostle Paul is teaching about Christ and about salvation, he refers back to these verses in Genesis about Isaac and Jacob. We need to read these stories to understand Paul's teaching in the New Testament. The final story in Genesis is the amazing story of Joseph, chapters 37 through 50. His brothers sold him into slavery, but God was with him in Egypt. God raised him up to be ruler of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. We learn our final foundation in the book of Genesis, foundation number 9, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Take a look at one of the closing verses in the book of Genesis. Behind me on the screen, Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. This is Joseph talking to his brothers after the whole thing is over. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. God is sovereign. God is in control. As you know, if you've read the book, Jacob, whose name has now been changed to Israel, and his sons then come and move to live in Egypt with Joseph, and we are all ready for the incredible book of Exodus. Trinity Baptist Church, the book of Genesis. Read it, study it, explore it, treasure it. Will you pray with me, please?